views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, and I'd like to welcome you. Hey, I already said that, but I want to remind you that Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-pronged approach. We have Club ADHD, the podcast, we have the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. And that begs the question, what is Club ADHD? Well, it's a place for us, adults, with ADHD, a place where we can be, simply be, right? We don't have to put on any masks or worry about what people are thinking about us like we do that, right? Right. It's just a place for us to hang out. You know, the podcast, yeah, you get to listen to me and I'll interview some people and all that good stuff. And you can respond. We have ways of doing so. Just type in something on the Club ADHD Facebook page or on the Twitter account, or you can email me direct. Where do you go to find those links? Just go to clubadhd.ca. And it's all being brought to you by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. If you want to learn more about ADHD or how you can be an advocate, and they have various, well, initiatives going on, visit their website, cadac.ca. If you're looking for maybe a support group in your area and you happen to live in Canada, well, they've got some lists on there too, or better yet, you can contact them. And even if you don't live in Canada, the site is a wealth of information when it comes to ADHD. So once again, thanks to CADAC for helping to support this podcast. Well, I'm in hurry up. I shouldn't say hurry up. I'm in catch up mode. Hurry up and catch up. Yeah, that's the ticket. Falling a bit behind. Yeah, it's a bit ironic, isn't it? An ADHD podcast that's fallen behind. But I've fallen behind. And with this episode, I just want to tell you some things going on dealing with me, and I hope you can relate. I know we first started out this podcast many months ago, over a year ago. And it featured during our first podcast, I think that's where I put it, the interview I did with CBC Radio. That's the national broadcaster here in Canada, the radio version. And I was on a program, and I just told it the way it was. I wasn't feeling all that up. I was feeling a bit down, talking about my ADHD. And a lot of people have heard that interview. Matter of fact, they've rebroadcast that interview. And you might have heard it on this podcast. And it can bring some people to tears the way that, well, I portrayed myself. It wasn't a portrayal. It was the truth. Because we ADHDers, we have good times and bad times. And I know such is the case for normal people as well. But when you have ADHD, it's, well, you're in a different category. And we have obstacles that we have to go around. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you just want to stop. Just halt. And look and see, and what you see you don't like. So you just stop, and you think about the past maybe. Well, I'm in a bit of a rut these days. I've had a few triggers. Triggers meaning, well, I've had a death happen of a friend just after Christmas. I think I might have mentioned it on a previous podcast. Wasn't very close to him, but we did work together, and at the time, he had his own problems, or prior to that, he had his own problems. We worked in radio, but he was addicted to drugs and to booze, and he straightened himself up, and he became somewhat of a coach, not a therapist, a counselor, and he took me under his wing at the time because I didn't know I had ADHD. So I was getting depressed because I was getting older, not figuring out why things are not happening the way that they normally would happen for other people. You know, doing the right things and just not coming out correct. Always sabotaged. So he spent a lot of time with me. And we explored various initiatives, various strategies. And I'd like to thank him for that. And he passed away a couple of months ago. And then last week, I had a cousin pass away. And that hit me hard as well. I've been having a lot of people pass away over the past couple of years. And I know the older you get, the more you have people in your life pass away. It's the circle of life. Doesn't make it fair. It is what it is. Oh, I hate that phrase, but I just used it. But these past few months, you know, struggling to get motivated. It's as if that, you know, my internal engine is stuck in neutral. You know, I take my ADHD meds and you get revved up and you're going to do this and you're visualizing you doing that. But just to get that transmission in your life into gear, into drive, it's a tough thing to do. Matter of fact, doing this podcast, this edition right now, it took a lot for me to, you know, turn on that microphone. I just found ways of putting it off. And you know, that's where I'm at right now. And today's not bad, but, you know, I've had some pretty down days. And yes, I too suffer from depression. It can get very brutal at times. And I wasn't, well, brutally suffering, but, you know, just stuck. And thinking about the people in my life who have since departed. And again, that just adds another layer to the past. I've said to some people, it's as if my childhood is dying. And yeah, I'm an older guy. I'm in my 60s, and 60 was tough. That was a tough transition. And I know it's only a year, right? They say you're only as old as you feel, and I do things. I play badminton despite some problems I have physically, but I do tend to hang around some younger people. And that works out good for me. However, you know, with ADHD and having it diagnosed later in life, it can be challenging. Dr. Russell Barkley once mentioned, and I believe I mentioned this on the podcast, that for people who have been diagnosed later in life, well, I can't remember the exact words, but he said something to the, you know, to the extent of it's over. And I know what he meant. And if you just looked at what he said on the surface and you're an older person who was diagnosed late in life, you'd say it's over. Oh my goodness. I'm pretty sure I know what he was meaning. The fact that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, that old saying, right? Well, that's not always the case, but it's a challenge when you are older and you're used to doing certain things a certain way. Your mind isn't as malleable, flexible, as it is when you're younger, when you can learn different ways of doing things and they become habit. Well, if you've had a habit all your life and now you're forced to change that habit or having to change it, it's really difficult. And I think that's what he meant about that, that if you are diagnosed earlier in life, preferably childhood, you stand a better chance of, well, succeeding. Is that the right word? You know, or living a more fulfilled life, perhaps? I don't know. And I'm not trying to dream up excuses. Because for us with ADHD, you know, they say don't use ADHD as an excuse. And I agree. It's not an excuse because it is what it is. Right, it's part of us. It's like, I don't know, if we have green eyes, it's us. And we have to accept that, and it's so tough, especially when other people don't accept it. And that's the big trials and tribulations that we have when it comes to ADHD, that it's not being accepted. But that aside, personally, yeah, I've been struggling. It's just one of those things, you know, and you're seeing people who are your same age, who are, in my case, retiring, and yet I'm not even out of the gate as far as I'm concerned, but yet you look at my resume, and I've done a lot of things in communications, more than the average bear. However, getting to point A, or from point A to point D or C, or even B, is a challenge. A challenge that, you know, we get close to it, and then we do something silly. And we have to start over again. That's tough to take. Are you feeling that way too? You're not alone. And I have to keep telling myself I'm not alone. And I must admit, doing this podcast, is it self-serving? I'd say yes, because yes, I do want to help people. I honestly do, but I want to help myself too. And I am helping myself by doing this podcast. And I hope you spread the word. And I'll be truthful. It's not being accepted as well as I thought it might be. Yeah, we have a lot of listeners, but I would think that we'd have more. You're never satisfied, right? Then you think, well, why is this? Is it because of the ADHD? I've listened to other ADHD podcasts, and I don't want to be like them. I don't think that we should be like them or it should be like them, because the other podcasts, for the most part, sounds, well, too clinical, you know? My background is broadcasting. I like to think that the quality of the show, as far as the listening of it, you know, it's quality that I try to produce something that could air on a radio station. And I know it could. I'm not asking to have it done, but the sound quality, I think, is there. And just that we're relating at a very relatable level, I think that's the attraction that this podcast has. At least that's my view, and I could be totally wrong on that. But there have been some people, not a lot, but some people are telling me that, hey, I identify with this. You know, I like it. And I'm not soliciting for positive, you know, comments. That's not what I'm doing. If you like it, please spread the word and send it out there. But as I was saying, yes, I'm doing it for as much as for me as I am for you. And I think that's okay. And I want to be totally honest, right? I do. I want to be someone that you can say, yeah, I can relate to that person. And I can relate to you when I'm interviewing the people I interview. So that's where I'm at in that aspect of it. Will I get out of that rut? I hope so. I think I will. You know, I'm not totally down in there. And I've spoken to people who are down in there. And yeah, I can relate. Been there. I'm sure many of us have been there. But I'm just telling you where I'm at right now. You know, you become a bit melancholy, especially when you think of when you're a kid and you didn't have those, well, pressures of life. Even though you had your ADHD, I didn't know I had it. And at the time, I didn't know I was being penalized for it. I later learned that there have been instances where I was penalized. But my being naive, I didn't catch it. Until I go back now and look at it and you hear from other people who knew you when. You know? And yeah, it's easy to fall into self-pity. And I don't think I'm there. I've been there before, I'm sure, and maybe you have too. But let's face it, this ADHD thing makes us different. And yeah, I applaud the people who say, I like being different, and I love my ADHD. You know, I think my ADHD is added to my life. Maybe I wouldn't be as creative as I am if I didn't have it. I don't know. Never had that opportunity to find out. But I do know that it can add struggles. Of course, the added baggage, the comorbidities, the depression and all that stuff, that's not exactly fun. It's just something that we have to deal with. And dealing with it is easier said than done. And dealing with it and saying you have to deal with it from other people who don't have ADHD is an easy way to perhaps solve the problem in their mind. Easy for them to say, tough for us to do. So that's where I'm at. You know, I want to get caught up with the podcast. And no, I will not abandon it by any stretch of the imagination. It just, it's a rough time for me right now. And last night I had a situation where, as some of you may know, I like to play badminton. I think that's the perfect sport for us with ADHD. And as I had mentioned before, I do have some physical challenges that I tend to overcome. You know, with a few meds. Yeah, no, I'm not addicted to painkillers by any stretch. But, you know, I do have some issues that I didn't know I had as a younger kid. And if they were told to me back then, or really focused on, I probably wouldn't have done the things that I've done in the past. I've always considered myself physically to be normal, but never picked to be on the All-Star team or whatever. And yeah, you don't have to have a physical disability to not be picked on an All-Star team, but there have been instances where I thought I was better than I was, and that's not bad, you know, because you're willing to do other things, because no one's told you that you couldn't. In hindsight, I think that's a good thing. If my ADHD were focused on as a kid, I think I would be better for it. But then again, as a kid, it was back in the 60s. Yeah. What did they do for kids with ADHD back then, huh? Not a lot. Labeled them as other things. And those aren't positive things. So, you know, that's my life. You know, as Howie Mandel, as I had mentioned a few weeks ago, says that I have to accept the fact that, you know, I'm not normal. I forget the exact terminology. I'm just having one of those brain issues right now. But, you know, he's accepted the fact that he's not exactly normal. Again, that can be tough to do. So that's where I'm at right now. Are you in the same place? Are you in a similar place? Hey, I'd like to see your comments on the Facebook page or the Twitter account. You know, I welcome that because I learn from you as well. We both can help each other. That's what this is all about, too, this Club ADHD. It's not me getting on a soapbox. It's not me, you know, throwing out Twitter information or information on the Facebook page and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, it's us. It's all about us because we are our best advocates. We understand each other. And yes, ADHD comes in various forms. It's not as generic as a broken bone. A broken bone is a broken bone. However, there are some breaks that are a little bit different than others, right? But ADHD, it's such a broad spectrum. And that's maybe the challenge that we have in getting other people to understand it, because it is so broad that it can be viewed as an excuse. That's the challenge as far as marketing the fact that, yes, it is a real thing. It's real. That said, we have come a long way. If you look where we are now compared to 40 years ago with ADHD awareness, we're nowhere near where we should be, as we know. And again, maybe we're the people who can change that. And again, that's part of Club ADHD's mandate as well. So that's my view on that. That's where I'm at. Maybe you're at with me. We'll be at together. And in doing so, we can sing along with Ringo and the Beatles. Here's something I like to call learning from the Super Bowl. What's that all about? What's a Super Bowl, you ask? Well, I'm sure many of you know what the Super Bowl is, but just in case you live in a country that is not, well, Super Bowl focused. Yeah, that's what we can say. The Super Bowl is for the NFL, the National Football League. As in American football, it is the game. Who will be the Super Bowl champions, the champions of champions for this season? Who will win the Vince Lombardi Trophy? Now, this year, we had a winner that is no stranger to winning Super Bowls. This is their sixth. I'm talking about the New England Patriots, the team many people love to hate. Unless, of course, you're originally from or live in New England, then you love them. Show of hands, how many people are originally from New England? I have both my hands raised. Yes, I was born in Boston, spent part of my childhood there, and back then they were known as the Boston Patriots, and they were lousy. They didn't even have an an official stadium, a place to play. They played all over the place. But they have evolved into where they are right now, a dynasty. And please, the Patriots are a team many people love to hate, as I had mentioned, right? Why? Because they're successful. And human nature being as it is, many people don't like people who are successful. They might say, how did they get successful? I'm not successful. Why are they successful? I bet they did something they shouldn't have done. Maybe they cheated. Maybe they robbed. Maybe they did this. Maybe they did that. Maybe they just did something right. You don't hear that too often, right? It's not vocalized as much as, they did something wrong. Well, yes, the Patriots have been somewhat caught at doing a few things. Caught. I say that loosely because everybody does them. It's not wrong. Everybody does them. No, there was one called the Flategate where they claim that Tom Brady made sure that the ball was deflated during one Super Bowl so he could throw it easier. But that has been disproven. It really has. And I'm not going to get into it, but I'm convinced that that was a lot to do about nothing. Again, the haters were hating, including the person who heads the NFL, the commissioner. That's another story. So what do I mean about learning from the Super Bowl? I think I could change that, and I wasn't going to mention this at the outset because it might turn some people off who don't like the Patriots, but please be open-minded. It's not so much as the Patriots. It's about how they do things. I should call it learning from the Patriots. The Bill Belichick, Bob Kraft Patriots. Oh, Bill Belichick. He's the coach. And a lot of people don't like him because he's successful. Again, I'm not just coming up with this because I'm a Patriots fan, a longtime Patriots fan. No. I'm just looking at this as independently as I possibly can. Why are they successful? Why do they win so many Super Bowls? You know, in this modern age, it's very, very tough to win a Super Bowl. It's extremely tough to win two Super Bowls. It's almost impossible to win three, yet they won six. Matter of fact, the Rams, who they faced in this year's Super Bowl, many people, myself included, are saying it's probably unlikely they'll make it to the Super Bowl next year. Now, they've got a good team. You would think, hey, they got a good team, they'll probably be in the Super Bowl next year. That's not always the case. There's free agency involved that when a team does well, they provide a spotlight, or the nation or the world provides a spotlight on the team's key players. And when it comes time for free agency, when a player can go to any team, the highest bidder, they usually do. So having a team that is the same each and every year, it's unusual because the key players are usually attracted by or they're solicited by other teams to play on their teams. So that depletes their former team's ability to get to where they were, maybe in this case the Super Bowl. But the Patriots are different. Why? Well, if you look at where they were when they won their first Super Bowl, their second, their third, there are very few, if probably one, person who is with them, well, two if you count the coach, three if you count the owner, that have been with them for all six. Everyone else has gone other places or have come from other places. The Patriots, Bill Belichick, the coach, he knows something. He knows how to get the best out of people, how to make them find the best in themselves and develop it and to become a star. Because, yes, he's had all sorts of different high-profile people who do very well, who have been attracted, solicited by other people, by other teams to go there, and they've went. There have been Super Bowls probably in the last 10 years, even when the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl. If you look at the two teams, there's always a group of people that can trace their success back to the Patriots. So what the Patriots do, what Belichick does, is that he creates stars. There must be an atmosphere in there that really brings out the best. And Bill Belichick is not someone who embellishes when interviewed. He's very matter of fact, doesn't go in great detail, might be a little curt even. The guy's focused. I don't think he's a taskmaster, but he doesn't he doesn't put up with a lot. There have been instances where there have been individuals who had a terrific game. A game where the nation is focused on that individual saying, wow, what a game that person has played. But if in one instance I'm thinking that that same person, maybe their ego got to them and showed up to a practice late, Bill Belichick will say, I don't care how good you are benched. You're not playing the next game or the next few games. Can you imagine having one player that is a very good player and you're in the Super Bowl and you don't play that player? That's happened on the Patriots. Maybe that instills a bit of a, I don't know, a structure. Because I know, as a person with ADHD, who was diagnosed late in life, but I know back in my Boston days when I was taught at a parochial, a Catholic school by nuns who, well, they didn't goof around. They were very strict at times. And it brought out the best in me. It did. And you know what? I actually liked it. I don't know if I'd like military school, but I liked where I was. And although they said to my parents, you know, he has so much potential that is being untapped. Again, it's the ADHD thing. He's a B student. He could be easily an A student. Yeah, there was still that. But I was still a B student. Yet when I moved to Nova Scotia and went to a rural school, a public school, and I'm not looking to condemn public schools, but the structure wasn't there compared to what I was used to, compared to the nuns who took no crap from anyone, I floundered. My grades went way down. Was I out of control? Maybe at times. I didn't think I was, but, you know, I had opportunities where I could, you know, evolve my humor. That's not always good. Sometimes at the sacrifice of other people. Couldn't shut up. Because I was being taught by teachers who, you know, nuns for whatever reason, maybe it's the fact that they have so little control in their lives outside of the school if they're teachers. You know, it's very strict in their environment. They do this, they do that, they pray, they do that, they do that. But in school, they can do their own thing, and maybe they become the authoritative figure, the authority, the primo. They are queen in the classroom. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But when you go to a rural Nova Scotian public school, you've got teachers there who are in it because in some cases it's a job. Maybe it could be a passion of theirs, but they're nowhere near as structured as what those nuns were. And a guy like me would falter big time. And you know something? I was probably resented. I know I was resented by teachers back in the day. That's another issue. I found that out. It's because of my ADHD. Now, not to say the nuns knew about the ADHD. They knew there was something different. But the Patriots, getting back to the Patriots, they're able to just create these stars and bring out the best. And if only we could do the same for our lives, right? I'm sure there are other teams who would love to be able to do the same thing. Maybe they don't know the secret sauce about it all. Maybe there is a secret. I think there is. Maybe Coach Belichick is brilliant. I have no doubt he is. But you take a guy like their big-time star who has been with them for the entire run, Tom Brady, the quarterback, the captain of the offense, the guy who throws the ball and sometimes calls the shots. You look back at his career and his university days, his college days, he was not exactly a prima donna. He was a solid backup quarterback that they would bring in later in the game and he'd get the job done. But he didn't stand out to the point of, you know, come time to conduct the draft, you didn't have teams just rallying around him saying, hey, you got to be a member of our team. No, he was picked down the line. He was overlooked by teams that are kicking themselves now. But he had that inner drive in him that he was ready. And that's what opened up his opportunity in the NFL, because he started out as a Patriot as a backup quarterback. And what that is that backup quarterbacks, I've heard Brady say that sometimes you feel like you're not even part of the team. You don't contribute. Yeah, you would contribute during practice, but during the actual games, you're not doing much of anything. You might be helping a coach or something, but you don't feel a part of it. You're like a glorified fan on the sidelines. Well, what he did was that he was always ready. Yeah, he was a backup quarterback, but he didn't consider himself to be that. He didn't use that label as saying that's the reason why I shouldn't be ready. On the contrary, that was a big reason why he should be ready. Because if the quarterback of the team, the quarterback, gets hurt or something happens, the backup goes in. And that's what happened with Tom Brady. Drew Bledsoe, who signed a 10-year, multi-million-dollar deal with the Patriots, he got hit and got hurt. Internally, he had some problems. It was a mess. And Tom Brady was asked to get in there in the middle of the game. And did he perform? And as Drew Bledsoe was, you know, trying to get back up to speed and letting his injuries heal, Tom Brady was in there and he was ready. And he found some inner strength that they were winning and they were making plays that were outstanding. And unfortunately, when Drew Bledsoe came, when it came time for him to play, he was the backup quarterback. Now, what did Tom Brady do? How did he get there? As I mentioned, it was hard work. It's been said that he's probably one of the most intense people on the football field during a football game. He is focused. And we know about being focused, right? We know about being hyper-focused. Maybe Tom has ADHD. I don't know. It's never been said. But we know what it's like to be super focused. I've been accused of overseeing a team in the collective sense, in the business sense, who couldn't keep up with me because I was so hyper-focused on something. And I would get a little frustrated if people couldn't get up to where I was. I guess that's not a real leader ability. But then again, I've often said that we make great vice presidents and lousy presidents, because it's always good to have someone above us to help us. And someone to impress, probably. Yeah, I'll admit it. But the Patriots, again, they're able to win all these things with a different roster. With just, you know, the people who other people overlooked. And then when it comes time to play the big games like the last Super Bowl, their defense was just outstanding. And I have to admit, earlier in the season, I didn't think they would make it to the Super Bowl. I thought, well, this is probably one of the years they might not make it. But I was fooled. Their team peaked when it was supposed to peak. Now let's turn that into our own lives. I wish I could do the same. Maybe we can all do the same if we help each other. Maybe we can be the coach for each other. And I know we love to coach other people. I know I do. And sometimes I offer some pretty good advice, but unfortunately, I don't take that advice for me. I find it tough to help me. I've had other ADHD people say the same thing about themselves. Do you say that about yourself? Maybe we can use Club ADHD to be a form of helping each other. We can get on that Facebook, give our advice, and get on the Twitter account. You can send me a letter. Maybe you can help me. Well, Lord knows I need the help. Because, yeah, I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve right here, right now. Because I want to be able to, yeah, tell my story so that I can help me. But maybe you can identify with my story as well, as I said before. And maybe give you some focus. That's what we need, focus. We need to be the Patriots of life. You know, we have to be ADHD people. Like the Patriots, bringing out the best in us because we have something to offer. We really do. And when you're faced with obstacles, and sometimes it seems so impossible to get around those obstacles, because that's what we have to do, because quite often we can't go through them. It's so difficult to go around them that we just stop and say, why bother? I've got ADHD, why bother? Shouldn't be that way. We're creative. We have to be our own cheerleaders. We have to offer some structure. And yeah, that's our problem. We don't have structure. And maybe, just maybe, other people can help us with that structure. Because there are a lot of people, successful people with ADHD, right? We know that. Some Olympians who won multiple medals have ADHD. Could they do it on their own? I'm guessing no. They had the coaches there to help. Now, if it's a case of us coaching each other, so be it. Because we can make pretty good coaches. We are very observant. We observe things. Do you have ADHD-dar, as they say, like a radar? Can you tell if a person has ADHD, even if they don't know they have it, or if they've never been diagnosed? We have the ability to see that. We have the ability to do some things, some amazing things. But we have to do it a little bit differently than others, than the normal people out there, than the normal football teams. We have to create success wherever we can find it. And usually the place where it's found is within us. So if we can band together, it might sound corny, band together as our own little team, our own big team, and we can use Clubby ADHD as a mode to do that, then we're all the better for it, right? Does that make sense? I hope you're nodding your head. I hope. So let's see what we can do. Let's be like the Patriots. We don't have to win trophies, but let's feel good about our lives. Yeah, I mean, what is success? And that's another thing, too, with modern society. What is success? And a lot of people, they strive for it. And when they get to what is defined as being successful, a lot of money or this and that, they find it's not all it's cracked up to be. Yeah, I understand that. But it would be nice to have a little more money than we have. Some of you might be struggling when it comes to money. And that's not uncommon when it comes to ADHD. I hear about it all the time. Hey, I know about it. Sometimes you're living from check to check, or sometimes you don't even see a check coming. But we have that ability to create things. We do. And yeah, we can drive each other crazy. Yeah, I posted something on the Facebook page asking people to be honest and saying, do you feel frustrated sometimes by other people with ADHD? And people answered honestly, yes, we do. Yeah, we know why they're thinking that way. It doesn't make it any more pleasant. But, you know, empathy is very powerful. So what do you say? Let's make Club ADHD into something really big. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. As I mentioned, I'm being honest. I'm doing this for as much about me as it is about you. And yeah, I really honestly feel that I wouldn't want other people to go through what I went through, some kids to go through what I went through in life, you know, not knowing or being labeled as something else. You know, putting a negative label on something is not exactly good for that something. Doesn't inspire that person. I'm not looking at being what they call, well, a snowflake, a safe place and all this stuff. And we all get medals, even if we don't win anything. No, I believe that if we compete and if we lose, we can get as much out of losing as we can winning. It toughens up our steel. It's like taking a vaccination. Some people don't believe in it. Don't believe in it. No. Well, the vaccination does have things that aren't that great, but it's there for a reason, to toughen us up, right? Well, yeah, we should be able to play in dirt as a kid because we don't want to be overly sanitized, because when it comes to facing germs, we're defenseless. So, okay, we have to come across things that we're not successful in. And Lord knows we've done that, right? Are you shaking your head? But let's use that as a way to toughen us up, to become a patriot. Get on that gridiron. Pass me that football. I'm getting carried away here. I'm getting as much out of this as some of you are too, and some might be saying, I'm not getting much of anything. No, I am, you know, just saying these words, I'm hearing them. It's somewhat unique, you know, you can say those words to yourself in your mind, but if you say them aloud, it's totally different. I teach public speaking, and I tell the students, and many of them have postgraduate degrees, they're all university students, but I say that if you're going to give a speech, don't do it in your mind. You've got to say it, because playing it in your mind is different. So what I'm saying right now is helping me, and I hope it's helping you. You're listening to Club ADHD. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, reminding you that if you need some information on ADHD, a good place to start is the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada website. Remember, you don't have to be in Canada to take advantage of the information. Here's the web address, caddac.ca. And while you're at it, don't forget to visit our Club ADHD Facebook page as well as our Twitter account. You want links to those things? Simple. Just visit our webpage, clubadhd.ca. And also remember, the more you listen to this podcast, the more it gives me a boost to keep doing it. I'm being real. I'm sorry. Wearing my heart on my sleeve again. What can I say? And if you have an opportunity, and who knows, you just might, just shout out this truth. ADHD is real. Okay, be careful what you shout. It might get yourself into trouble. Who knows? But then again, we're used to attracting attention, right? Oh, boy. What do I say now? Well, there's nothing left to say except bye for now.